Canto 23. Wordless, alone, without an escort, we went on. One walked behind the one ahead, as minor friars do. Insistently, my thoughts were driven by these scenes of dread, to Aesop's fable of the frog that tricked the mouse into the stream and dived to drown the mouse, but when the mouse splashed, the kite picked the frog for its next meal and hurried down. And both tales, for what happened at the start and end, were just the same, the one aligned with the other, and fear doubled in my heart, just as the stories echoed in my mind. It is by us, I thought, that they are fooled. By injury and insult they are vexed. Add anger to ill will, and they are ruled by double passion to make us their next objective, as if they, more savage still than any dog, snapped at the leveret. Already my hair bristled at the thrill of fear, and so I stood with my stare set intently back and said, Master, unless you quickly hide us both, I am afraid the evil claws will catch us. I confess I hear them make again the noise they made when they thrived on a fugitive's distress. And he, Were I a mirror, I could not receive your outer image sooner than your inward now. Your thoughts make common lot with mine in guise and action, so one plan I make of both. If that slope on the right leads down into the next ditch after this, we'll slip the hunt that haunts you in your fright. His plan acquired an urgent emphasis while he was still explaining it, for here they came with outstretched wings. They were intent on taking us, and they were very near. My master took one look at them and bent to pick me up, just as a mother would, who wakes to hear the noise and see the fire and picks the child up, thinking of its good above hers, as she flees with no attire, even a shift, because time equals hope. Down from the stone-high ridge, flat on his back, he let himself slide on the rocky slope this side of the next ditch. At such a crack, never ran water coursing through a sluice to turn a mill-wheel nearest to the blades, as my guide did when he went fast and loose down that steep bank and through the dry cascades. He bore me on his breast more as a child than a companion. Hardly had his feet touched down on the deep bedrock when that wild platoon was on the height above to meet their fate made manifest. For the same high authority which gives them wings to guard the fifth ditch has decreed they shall not fly beyond it. They knew that, but took it hard. We found a painted people there below, who circulated looking tired and sad. They seemed defeated, and their steps were slow. In cloaks with cowl drawn forward they were clad, to hide their weeping eyes, cloaks of the kind that Cluny monks wear, but these shone with gold, as if to dazzle they had been designed. Within, though, they were led in every fold, so heavy that those Frederick liked to see wrapped melting around traitors were mere straw. A tiresome mantle for eternity. We turned, still going left just as before, along with them as they preoccupied, with weeping went, but weary with their load, they had to go slowly every stride of ours along that populated road brought us new company. Therefore I said to my wise leader, Can't we, as we go, find someone among all these walking dead whose deeds we've heard of or whose names we know? And one caught by my Tuscan accent called out after us, Slow down and get some rest. You that so hasten through this air appalled with dusk, perhaps you'll get what you request from me. At which my leader said, Let's wait and go on at his pace. I stopped and saw a couple who seemed in the mental state to join us quickly, but their bodies bore that load, and it was crowded on the way. When they came up, each of them gazed a while, sideways at me and silent, and then they spoke to each other. This one has the style of the alive. The workings of his throat a sure sign, and if both of them are dead, by what rare privilege are they free to walk, thus unencumbered by the cloak of lead? And then to me, Tuscan, we know your talk. You that have come to where the hypocrites assemble their sad faces, tired and worn, from faking a sincerity that fits their story, tell us yours. Where were you born? And I to them. Where the fair Arno flows, in that great city I was born and raised. My soul is still contained in what it knows, this body mine from birth. Be not amazed, but tell me who you are, for whom such pain distills itself and dribbles down each cheek. What penalties drench you in golden rain? So heavy you can hear each balance creak. These yellow cloaks are lead, one answered me. One Guelph, one Ghibelline, we are the two jovial friars of Bergamo. You see the saviors of your city facing you. I, Catalano, Loderingo he, both chosen by your council to bring peace where one man alone fulfilled that role, and the Gardingo district won't soon cease to say how well we did it on the whole. Thinking of what they stole, and where once stood the Uberti Palace. Friars, your mad pride, I said, but said no more of what I would, for when I saw one lying crucified by three stakes in the ground, he saw me there, and writhed all over, blowing on his beard with sighs, and Catalano saw me stare, and said, that one who lies there, three times speared, is Caiaphas, who told the Pharisees one man should do a people's suffering. Stretched naked on a crowded pathway, he's well placed to feel the weight of everything that comes along, as you can see. The same for Annas, in this ditch put to the rack, his mother's father, and for every name on that black list to which the Jews trace back their troubles. Yes, I mean the Sanhedrin. Then I saw Virgil standing there nonplussed, above the one stretched vilely crosswise in external exile. What you have discussed, he told the friar, for me is far from clear. But if you are allowed, and if you please, you'll tell us whether some way out of here lies near us on the right, so we may seize our chance to leave without a plea for aid from black angels, that they may come to lift us up and fly us out. The friar made the following reply. You were adrift in all your estimates. Help is nearby, much closer than you hope. From the great wall, a ridge runs inward, cutting through the sky of every valley so it links them all, except that at this one it lies a wreck. You climbed the ruins piled against the side, a staircase starting level with this deck. My leader stood with bent head, mortified. The one that hooks the sinners over there sold us a bill of goods, he said, whereat the friar grinned. Yes, wasn't that unfair? I think I once heard in Bologna that the devil sometimes has resort to vice. He has been known to say what isn't true. I've heard he isn't really very nice. My leader strode on. As his anger grew, his stride grew greater. Led by his sweet heels, I left the souls who weigh the way guilt feels.